Good morning, church family. I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as a builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory.
Thank you, Alex. You know, it always puts everything at ease, and you don't worry about anything in the world when your daughter just looks up to you and says, "I love you, Daddy," and kisses you on the cheek. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what happens the rest of the day. My day was made in that one little thing. It's good to be with you guys this morning. You get JV Brad today. Todd's out for this weekend. I'm just joking, but he and Patty took a little kind of trip since they won't be able to take an anniversary trip because he'll be going to Israel in March, which they're real excited about him getting to go do that. Since, if you don't remember, 2 years ago when the pandemic hit, Todd was actually on his way to Washington, D.C. area to fly to go to Israel, and then everything, the world shut down. And so we're excited that he'll get to go ahead and do that trip this spring. Would you pray with me before we begin this morning? God, we are often weary with the things of this world and the things that we go through. And as our series has been over this last few weeks, sometimes we get just tired of it, whatever it might be in our lives. Sometimes we get worn down. We lose our focus. We wonder when something might end or get better. And God, we are reminded that even though things seem difficult, you are with us. And that when we look towards you, we find hope. A hope that comes from nowhere else. A hope that gives us confidence to live. And God, we are thankful for that. So God, help us to build our lives as the preacher says in Hebrews, that we build it on what you've created as Jesus is the builder of our lives, the builder of this house, that would be our focus and who we are. Speak to us through your scripture, challenge us this morning, encourage us this morning. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned with the children, I do like to build things. Now, I think it started as a young age. My mother tells a story of me being, I don't know how old, I was under five, I'm sure, where it started out as not building things, but taking things apart. I don't know how old I was. She could tell me. I'm looking over here to see. I was 3 years old, and I had the vacuum apart in the middle of the living room. She looked over, and it's all in pieces, and I would just take it all apart. And I don't know why that started. Maybe it was just ingrained in me, but I like to just know how things work. That's just kind of my personality. And so to this day, I will try and figure out how to make things work and figure out. I'm also very cheap, and so I try to figure out how to make it work cheaply. And so I don't have to spend very much money. And so when it came time to do some different things for our house and different things like that, I had this great intention of not purchasing a playhouse for my daughter, but building it myself. And I thought, you know, I'll build it myself. We can do it exactly how we want. And it'll be cheaper too, because I did the work myself. Well, then lumber prices went up and it wasn't cheaper. And I got midway through it and I'm sitting there going like, okay, this is really cool, but I probably could have saved a lot of money by just buying a plastic one and stick it in the backyard. But then I was, you know, reminded as I'm working on it, and Harley's getting they're real tools, but they're plastic. But anyway, and she would get out there and play with it and stuff like that. And building the playhouse and her watching it and being a part of it and playing in it, it meant everything to look back on this playhouse as something that took way too long to make, because Kaylee and I are a little extra, and so we made this, you know, pretty crazy playhouse. But in the end, it's something that we know our daughter and then Cooper too, growing up, will have a blast playing in and having fun. We'll get to see lots of cool memories. I never really understood that until I became a parent. And like all the little things that, you know, seemingly like grandmas and parents have things that they keep for us, that we sometimes like, why did you keep that? Well, it meant something to them. And now I think back on it in different things. I think of the day when, you know, they're teenagers and they maybe aren't playing in playhouses anymore. And I'm sitting there going, you know, what will we do? No, it'll stay in the backyard because I'll need that reminder of them when they were sweet and kind and kissed me on the cheek and said, I love you, when they're, you know, not doing that very often. Okay? But I say all that to say that this passage in Hebrews makes a shift. The first two chapters that Todd's been in the last few weeks have been a focus on kind of an introduction of this good news Jesus. And we move into chapter 3, and the preacher makes this comparison of Jesus and Moses while also making this analogy of building a house and what that looks like and how something is built and it progresses and who's in charge of building it. Is it the builder or is it the house? And sometimes when you're building things, you feel like you're not in charge of anything. The house is in charge of everything because things break and it doesn't work. But ultimately, I get to move boards and measure them and cut them the right way and stuff. And ultimately, when I built the house, it was me making those decisions of building that playhouse. The playhouse had really no say in it in some form or fashion. But this comparison of Jesus and Moses, sometimes as 2,000 years post Jesus being on earth, we don't always grasp completely. We know a little bit about who Moses, right? We learn the Bible stories of the 10 plagues. I remember when, I don't remember what it was, the fall festival or something. My mom did a deal with the 10 plagues or whatever. And she threw like frogs over like those dividers we have. And we had different things in the kids to go through the different 10 plagues and stuff. I don't remember. She can remind me. I don't know. Anyway, but we went through all the 10 plagues and you memorize them. And you got the frogs and the locusts and all the different things. And we learn those stories, or we learn about the parting of the Red Sea. Okay. There's a silly youth song. I won't do it for you. But about parting the Red Sea and things like that. And we learn those stories, but sometimes we as, you know, especially American Western Christians, we don't get often the importance of who Moses was. To the Jewish people, Moses was the guy. He was. You had the four patriarchs in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, but Moses was the guy. He was the one who brought them out of Egypt. He was the one who began this journey to the promised land, the one that was the voice of God that gave them the law, that did all of these amazing things and was really God's mouthpiece as well as the people's mediator between God and themselves. Moses was very, very important in the Jewish faith. And so when the preacher in Hebrews brings up Moses for his first comparison of who Jesus is, for the audience that he's speaking to, it would have perked up because Moses was a big deal. It's like saying to a New England Patriots fan, you're going to talk about Tom Brady. Like, whoa, okay, what? Okay, now I don't know if they feel that way because he went to the Bucks and left them all behind, but I think they still love him. Maybe it's Bill Belichick now. I don't know. Anyway, skipping the sports references. But Moses was a big deal. I mean, a big deal. And the preacher here in Hebrews mentions how Moses is a big deal. He is important, but compared to Jesus, he's just another guy. And that would have caught their attention, especially the Jewish people in that day who weren't really completely familiar with Jesus. The preacher here is presenting the gospel to a group of Israelites that know Moses but may not completely know who Jesus is. They maybe hadn't encountered him. This would have been quite a few years after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected. And he's telling the story of who Jesus is, and you automatically bring up Moses, attention catches. And he says, Moses was faithful, but Jesus was faithful more. And here's the connection that I want us to get, and we're going to dive into a little bit about this. But Moses was faithful in God's house, Jesus was faithful over God's house. One word change. You know, I could dive into the whole grammar and the, you know, language stuff. I would defer to my wife because she knows more about that stuff than I do. But like, she talks about blends and vowel. I don't know. I can't even say it. She's learning a new class. And she talks about the stuff. I'm like, y'all learn that for second grade to teach it and stuff? But they got to know that stuff to teach that kind of thing. I didn't know that. But anyway, but like, the word here is big. If you think of in versus over, especially in this setting, one is a part of the house of God. One is over creation of the house of God. It's a big difference. That's like saying one is the 2x4 and the other is the contractor. To compare Moses to a 2x4, it's a little different, right? Okay? For them, that was a piquing of their interest. And so when he makes this comparison, what he's trying to do is draw their attention while also making a point about who Jesus is. He's not demeaning who Moses was and Moses' importance, because Moses had a great importance in the bringing about of the people of God. But what he's saying is Jesus not only was faithful in those settings, but Jesus was putting those things into motion. He has started something and finished something bigger than Moses could have ever imagined. And so some of the things that we miss in this passage, as well as we miss when we think about Moses versus Jesus, is the idea that Moses made lots of mistakes. He was very important, but Moses was far from perfect, right? But God still used him in a great, great way. All the important people in the Hebrew, like bringing up the people of God, the people of Hebrews, they all have mistakes. They all made tons of mistakes, and God did amazing things through them. You know, one of the things we're doing on Wednesday nights is we're going through Ezra and Nehemiah. And yes, there are two books in our Bible, but it's actually one scroll, so it's technically one book. I mean, Ezra doesn't even show up till the last half of the book of Ezra. But you got Zerubbabel and Ezra and then Nehemiah, and they're all sent by the Persian king to go do something back in Jerusalem from exile to make Jerusalem something of its former self at that time. The temple had been destroyed. The walls were torn down. The people there didn't know the Torah, didn't know the scriptures. And so Zerubbabel comes and he rebuilds the temple and he has this great idea of how it's going to be and he builds, builds, builds. But in the end, he excludes some people and things go wrong. He thought he could do it this way and he was going to set all of the rules rather than what was the intention of the temple. It wasn't just to be some beautiful building, but it's supposed to represent the presence of God. Then Ezra comes in and starts to read from the scripture. And you have a group of people that had never heard the scripture read aloud. They may have heard some stories or different things, but Ezra reads from the scroll as a scribe, and he reads about the law and talks about the law and talks about the purity of the law and all those kinds of things. And then it comes up that a certain issue has come up in that time, and he compromises the law to fit the way he wanted the law to come about. It was incomplete. He was trying to do it his own way rather than listening to what was really important. Then Nehemiah comes in and starts to rebuild the walls, but then also excludes people from helping build the walls. Instead of including in it being a complete people of God rebuilding of this city, he does it his way. And he misses it. We could go story after story after story throughout the Bible where there were great intentions of building something great. And it went wrong. I mean, David did lots of things. Solomon had great intentions, and then the kingdom divided after him. I mean, what does that say about your kingship if right after you're done, your kingdom divides? But he was considered the wisest king of them all. And Hebrews is going to make reference to all these things, but Moses is the most important because he started something. The whole idea of the promised land, the beginning of this group of people. And yet Jesus is greater than he. You know, I am a guy who likes to make plans. I like to have everything lined up. You know, Kayla makes fun of me sometimes because I set up like different things and she's like, how do you know that's going to work out just that way? It may not work out that way, that kind of thing. She keeps me humble. And I think that's going to be this way. Well, one of the things I thought I was going to do was when I was getting ready to graduate high school a few years back. And I had this intention of and plans of exactly where I was going to go to school, what I was going to major in. I was going to get this awesome golf scholarship because, you know, I thought I was amazing. And just like, you know, anyway, I won't go there. But, and so, you know, just because you're really good in your small pond doesn't mean you're good in the big pond. And, but anyway, I had all these great intentions of what I was going to do and how it was going to work out. And as my senior year started kind of rolling up, all of those plans just gradually started to, that didn't work out. The scholarship that I wanted didn't really work out. And then they weren't even interested in me in golf. Like, so that was thrown aside. And I remember it was the second semester, it was around February of my senior year, about this time. And I got a phone call from a golf coach in Kentucky at a college out there. Hey, we'd love to talk to you about this kind of stuff, and would you be interested in coming out? I'm like, I'd never even heard of this university. Like, what in the world are you talking about? Is this where Campbell's soup is made? Because it's called Campbellsville. I didn't know. And I remember he was like asking me questions, but it was rarely about golf. It was more about me. And I thought that was interesting, that a coach was more interested in who I was and my personal goals rather than my golf goals. I thought that was quite interesting. And long story short, we ended up taking a visit out there. It was in Kentucky. And, you know, it was one of those moments my mom was really quiet on the way home because she knew that's exactly where I needed to go, but she also knew it was 12 hours away. And so, like, it was this huge then shift of what I had planned versus something that ended up being way better than anything I could have planned. But I still had the option to say no. I could have still done what I wanted to do. I could have moved on and different things, and there were many times I tried to do that, trust me. I was 18, okay? But ultimately in that, there was something that God was building that was a little bit bigger, and then who knew I was going to come back home. But anyway, what I tell you that story is that oftentimes we have the best laid plans, and even Moses had the best laid plans, but he tried to do it on his own terms. He tried to do it his own way, and the people tried to do it their own way. I mean, golly, do you remember? They had the whole golden calf thing. They had all the different stuff that went on while Moses went up Mount Sinai. I mean, like, there was all kinds of stuff that went down in Exodus. Go back and read it. It was messed up, okay? And there were lots of things that the people and Moses tried to do on their own terms. And really, if you think through the history of Israel, and we can continue on the history of Christianity, there's lots of things we've tried to do on our own terms, in our own way. Things we think are the best way, our own personal opinions about this or that, or the way we think church should work, or the way we think you fill in the blank works, and we make these unwritten rules about things, and yet we miss Jesus a lot of times. And we forget that there's those that are in the house, and there's Jesus who's over the house. I forget a lot. You know, I'm a talented guy, right? I seem to be decently smart, right? I can figure that out. I know the right answer. Golly, I learned real quick early on in youth ministry that don't fake knowing the right answer with teenagers. They're smarter than you give them credit. They know when you're not really all got it all figured out. Okay? I can only wait for the questions my own kids will ask me, okay? But the truth is, in our lives, there are things we try to put in plans, and we try to do the building ourselves. Our way, the way we think, just like Zerubbabel and Nehemiah did with the temple and the walls, and even Ezra, when he read the scripture, he chose what was more important than something else. and we'll miss Jesus. And the preacher here really wants us to grasp the fact that we cannot miss Jesus. I mean, he will continue to talk about it through this entire book of Hebrews. This entire sermon from start to finish is he will bring up over and over again the importance and the sovereignty, the kingship, the leader, the one who is above all and over the house in Jesus. Why does he keep bringing it up? Golly, make your point and move on, right? No, Todd mentioned a few weeks ago, is like, we'll stop talking about it when we start getting it, right? We have to constantly be reminded who's over the house and who's in the house. If we fail to look at Jesus as greater than Moses or even greater than anybody else we might put up on a pedestal, including ourselves, we will always miss it. The house won't be building the right way. So the question is exactly what comes up in verse 6. And I love this translation. This is from the Contemporary English Bible. It says, "But Jesus was faithful over God's house as a son. We are his house if we hold on to the confidence and the pride that our hope gives us." We are his house. We are a part of what is being built. If we remain confident in the hope that we have. In a way, a reference back to Romans chapter 5, where Paul talks about we have confidence in the hope that we have in Jesus. There is something that we hope for. There is something that gives us meaning, something that we go after, and that is the good news that he has already talked about in the first two chapters, this good news of the gospel of Jesus that shows us grace and mercy and gives us something that is of purpose in looking towards Jesus that brings hope to a world that needs it. And that gives us confidence. Not an egotistical pride of being better than anyone else, but a confidence to live in the way that God's called us to live. A confidence to know that he is with us and that we can continue building something that is great as long as he's the focus and he's the builder. That should always be the focus. And the moment we start to lose that focus, the moment that we start to try and think that we've got it figured out and we can do what we that what we think is best, we miss it. We miss it. So maybe this passage, maybe this challenge would remind us to maybe stop just for a minute. And I sometimes tell us with our students is to, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. It's my attempt at being hip. If that's even a term, that's how far out I am. But in a way, it's take some time to examine what's going on. That's what the preacher is doing, causing us to think. Because oftentimes when we get tired of it, it's because we maybe need a refocusing. God never said it was going to be easy. Jesus never in all of his sermons, his parables and everything, never once said following me would be easy. Never once said that. Why should we think it would be otherwise? Instead, he said, I came to give you life and life abundant. In other words, there is something to hope for, there is something to have confidence about, and that is through Jesus. He should be the focus. His way should be our way. And we must remember that he's building the house, not us. We just get to be a part of it. And how awesome is that, that we get to be a part of it?